Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. We're just checking out all the platforms. We're actually using a live studio platform, which is should be broadcasting on Facebook Live right now. Welcome. I'm Don Allen in Studio A. Studio B is Mr. Jonathan Mason over there. And Studio C, in his palatial estate, is Mr. Anthony Scott. And our special guest, of course, Mr. Lacey Johnson, sitting in the cut, who I still can't hear for some reason. And I am going to turn up my sound all the way. And so this might get weird, but let's hope that's not the case. We are actually broadcasting live right now on Facebook Live, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And anybody watching can just tune in and catch up with the show. Jonathan, before we get to our special guest, we're not going to keep him waiting long. Give me an update on some of the stuff that's going on, some of the stuff you're involved in. I'm seeing all these videos on Facebook and such, and what's happening or what are some upcoming events?
Question was for me. He said he'll get right back
to me. I'll get right to you, Lacey. Just a minute. I just asked Jonathan something. I still can't hear Mr. Johnson yet, so we'll try to figure it out here in the studio.
So, real quick, we have a couple things. Can you hear me, Lacey? Okay. Well, we have some events going on. Obviously, it's an election season going on. And so we do have some things planned. Obviously, this week is going to be a big week. We're going to be meeting with the governor on some things about some cases, criminal cases. Hopefully, we can get that opened up. But other than that, you know, we have a big race. You know, we had the Breonna Taylor march that went beautiful down downtown, New York Times and stuff. They were happy about it. But we'll get right into it with Lacey Johnson.
Okay, I cannot hear him yet, and we are broadcasting live, and so it's not an adjustment on this end. It has to be on that end, according to all the things I'm playing with here. So we're going to have to get that figured out. But can you hear him talking to you?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me, Lacey?
Okay. Here's how we're going to fix that real quickly, because we do need that we need that handled. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to leave Lacey right where he is. We're not going to move him at all. Yeah. No, just tell him. Hold on a minute. I'm going to solve it right now. I'm going to do it the easy way here. Give me a second, guys. And I'm sorry about this, listeners, but sometimes technology just kicks your tail. Lacey. So now, he should be back. I think he's doing everything from a cell phone or something. I can hear you. Can you hear us, Lacey?
I can hear you now, Don. I can hear you, Don.
Okay, but now we can't see you on the broadcast because you must be on a cell phone. So
right, I am.
Well,
but here's the thing: if you give me a couple of minutes, I can try to get it on my desktop.
Yeah, well, why don't we let you do that? And then Jonathan said press your camera on your phone.
Okay.
Try that real quick.
I can do that right quick.
Yeah.
Okay, my camera's on my phone.
Yeah. Well, I can get started right away.
Don. Yeah, go ahead and do that, Jonathan.
Let me, while y'all doing that, let me try to get it up on my desktop. That'll take about 5 minutes. I'll keep you on the line.
Okay, meet us back online, okay?
Taking over at the studio. The last week and the week prior, we've seen a lot of things going on. Obviously, the breaking news with Donald Trump, the coronavirus, is major. He's almost anti-mask for a long time. John is back with us. So is Mr. Chuck.
Although that's Mr. Anthony Scott.
Shut up.
The Scott from the Scott Collection.
So hopefully Lacey is going to get back up with us.
Yeah, and I, you know, I sent him a link. Yeah, I can hear you, and I can hear you perfectly.
I can hear you. I can hear you. You know, Jonathan, you were really getting into stuff, and, you know, I'm just talking about how the president has the virus. And I wanted, Don, what do you think about that? You know, I mean, Don, you've been such a, even though I know the program doesn't support, as you say, support candidates, but, you know, what are your thoughts on the president at 45 now having the virus after not wanting to wear a mask?
Well, I mean,
actually mocking his opponent for wearing a mask. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? I don't think anything medical should ever be politicized. You know, if a mask, just think about this. All of us here on this show right now, at some point in our lives, we have been in the airport. We have traveled across the country, the United States, into Canada, and some of us to Europe and Italy and Korea, or wherever we went. Back in the 70s and 80s, didn't you find it strange that people from Asia would be in the airports on the West Coast with masks on back then? And so it's a medical thing. And I always thought, I said, that's weird. Why are you wearing a mask? And that was way back in the day. But I don't think that this mask thing should have ever been politicized like it was. If a mask will help anybody, including you, in the slightest, then we should wear it. You know, and I know he was mocking him. That's just something I don't agree with, because I'm not drinking all the Kool-Aid. Okay? I'm not drinking.
With that being said, you know, we had Dr. Fauci. He did say that. He went on 2020 and said the masks don't work. If you look on the back of the box, it says the masks don't work from you getting it, but it stops the spread, I guess, from the individual.
Yeah.
So I understand that, you know, who really knows? I think there clearly is something going on. I think 45 knows that as well. Being that he's at Walter Reed Hospital right now, under extreme surveillance, because right now he did not shift the power into his hand. And so that is something major, because if he says in 2 weeks he has been cured by hydrochloroquine, what does that look like for America? Do people just say, that's the hydrochloroquine and call it a day? Or do
But Jonathan, he says he's been tested every day, multiple times every day.
Yeah,
so
even while he's sleeping.
He's had it for 5 days. Okay. So, I mean, how good are these tests? I mean, he's getting tested every day, and he's had it, and he's gone to all these events. It just seems to be, I don't know. It's like somebody knows something that I don't know. But
hey,
I
guys. I want to budge in there, because it seems like we have Minnesota 5th Congressional District candidate running against Ilhan Omar, Mr. Lazy Johnson, back on the line with us, and we're going to see if we can get him up here. And
there you go. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, yeah, give him a hand. Yeah. Oh, what the? Oh, man, Lazy. So, let's get right to Lacey, because I know his time is limited, because he's a candidate on television and TV radio ads, and he's raised a lot of money, so we don't want to take up a lot of his valuable time. And I would like to start off with a question, Lacey. Actually, I would like you to introduce yourself to our audience, and this is broadcast on three or four different platforms at the same time right now, so you are live there. But introduce yourself, tell us what you're doing, and then Jonathan and I will, and of course Mr. Scott will come in with some detailed questioning. Go ahead, sir. It's all yours.
Hey, Lacey Johnson, long-time 40-year resident, ZD5, about 30 or so, 35 years, been in North Minneapolis, been with my wife 40 years, been married 33 years, raised 2 sons here in North Minneapolis, 1 graduated from North High School, went on to get his master's from Brown University, 1 graduated from Patrick Henry, got his associate from MCTC. He's a businessman now, and he's doing a little music. The one from Brown, he's out in Hollywood trying to make a name for himself in the music and entertainment, TV, movie, and entertainment field. My wife, Betty,
He's just been with me for a long time. I've been involved in the community, a longtime member of 33 years with the New Salem Missionary Baptist Church. I've spent 40 years in computer engineering, mostly developing military systems, everything from airborne computers to fighter jets, control fighter jets, to air reconnaissance systems, to missile guidance systems. I spent some time in the commercial side with Northwest Airlines as an IT project manager, XL Energy as an IT solution consultant. But in the meantime, I've always been an entrepreneur and a businessman, developing business in the inner city, a computer value-added reseller in the early 90s where we employed people from the inner city, educational services company over North Minneapolis where we provided tutoring and mentoring and homework health services. Jump started of a charter school after that. Biased here, but I think it was the greatest charter school we ever started up for the inner city. And then I've served on the North High Site Council for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I was an advisor for that STEM program. I've done prison ministry. I've worked with gangs and I'm trying to get them off the street, so I have a good experience here. And the reason I moved it, got into and right now I got an opportunity zone venture capital fund where we're trying to bring several businesses in North Minneapolis, high-tech business, software development, medical technology that's going to bring hundreds of jobs into North Minneapolis. We're going to give people in the community a chance to own stock in these companies. We're going to give people in the community a chance to be part of the executive management team. We're going to set aside money to pay for kids' college education. And basically, I'm not a politician, but I got into politics because I'm tired of the conversation around politics. Most of the information, most of the conversation I hear, whether it's on TV or going into living rooms or some of my educated, successful friends, I think it's just a lot of noise. It has nothing to do with the actual issues. And most importantly, it's not about the things that I hear people talking about in the streets. And so I'm here to take on Ilhan Omar. Oh, and one last thing, I guess. I think the whole Democratic philosophy, us voting 80% of the Democratic, for Democrats, is just detrimental. Outlook and our success. And I think we need to make people earn our votes. I think we need to make people compete for our votes. I think we need representatives at all tables of all parties rooting for people who've been down so long they never crossed their mind. And that's the way I look at it. That's why I'm out here fighting for it. And I think I'm going to make a change and I'm going to make a difference. You're going to see a change and a difference. And when I say a change and a difference, I mean a visible, measurable change. I'm not talking about some BS, and I'm not about words and things. I'm about a result. That's my background, and that's what I hope to bring into politics, change the conditions in our community. And I'm not in it because of love and all that other emotional stuff. I'm about results and getting things done.
Okay, thank you for that. You guys should be able to hear me. I'm actually on another screen. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
And my screen's not moving, but that's okay. My face is represented. I'd like to... The first question, hypothetical, Mr. Johnson, if you had an opportunity to meet with the President of the United States, be it our current President Donald Trump or Joe Biden, what would you ask for?
I think I would ask what we need really are investors. We'll work with people with money, but to encourage people with money, the opportunity is on basically – says that instead of paying taxes on your capital gain, people with a net worth of, in our case, of $21.5 million or more, instead of giving that money, sending that money to the federal government, why don't you invest in business in poor, disadvantaged communities? And so I would ask for more support along that line and anything that's favorable for business development in these inner city and these black communities. And then secondly, I probably ask for support of school choice, where we can make the public school once again, compete for our educational dollars and set goals where if they're not educating our children, we can take those dollars and send our children somewhere else. Because I think fundamentally, the two things we need to deal with is the economics, putting money in people's pockets. We need to educate ourselves. And hopefully along the line, I'll lead to the third thing, but that's really at the bottom of it all. We got to somehow put our families back together and make it more functional and prosperous.
Okay, before I pass it over, we want to share because there's questions from everyone. It seems to me like you're talking about the top-tier functioning career-minded people in the community that would understand everything you just said. Now, can we refocus that question to maybe communities that are blighted, like North Minneapolis, one of the many areas that the 5th Congressional District lies in? It has the two poorest areas in the state, the Phelps neighborhood and North Minneapolis. And for the people in those areas that don't understand business incubators, capital gains, buying stocks, and would never have the money to do that, what is the message from the Republican Party of Minnesota or the Minnesota GOP, besides don't vote Democrat, but a real intentional message? What is the message that they are sending to those groups of that mighty pool of Democratic voters to make them vote Republican in 2020 on November 3rd?
Well, I'll start off by saying I disagree with the basic premise of the question that people who are not educated cannot understand business and investment and things like that. And I'm speaking from experience, because what a lot of people don't know, what I'm doing today started in a conversation with gang leaders here in Minnesota. What people don't know is that where I am today, we had a Big Jimmy Standback, Thomas Dixon. Those gang members was involved, and street people were involved in it. And people have seen lately people working on my campaign. Those are the type of people I talk with. So I've had a lot of experience dealing with all kinds of people across the whole stratus. And I'm saying to you, based on my personal experience, not some theorizing or anything, they can understand this and they can do it.
No, I think you took my question wrong. I'm not saying that anybody does not have the capacity to do anything. I'm asking, what is the message from the Minnesota GOP, the Republican Party of Minnesota, whoever, to those people? Not necessarily your message, but what message flows through you to them to alert them? Because you got to be honest with me, Lacey. I'm sorry my thing isn't moving yet. Other people, you guys can see me, but I don't think – but don't worry about it. This is the first time using this. I don't care. This is more important. What I'm saying is there's a cast of people in Minnesota that have been systematically kind of rejected by the Minnesota GOP and the Republican Party of Minnesota. And if you know, I've had a long history with the GOP. I mean, I ran for the chair in 2013, came in, third place, and I also was a campaign manager for Barb Davis White, who did remarkable things in the 5th Congressional District, but unfortunately lost against Congressman Keith Ellison. So with that said, I'm trying to figure out what's the message that the GOP, the Minnesota GOP, threw you for the 5th Congressional District. I can't vote for you. I live in St. Paul. But what is the message? And then I'm going to pass it over to Jonathan. Maybe he can dissect it a little bit more. Go ahead, sir.
I have to say, I have not been rejected by them. Basically, I've been embraced by them. And I take that embracement and I bring it back to the community and work with young people to do that. But the message from the GOP to the young people of this community and the message that I have, you can be anything you want to be. And I'm here to help you to be anything you want to be. I'm here to show you how to be anything you want to be. I'm here to provide the resources for you to be anything you want to be. And I have confidence that you can do that. And so we're here to help you reach your life goal. In fact, we're here to help you define your life goal. One of the great things about working with these young people is that a lot of them have never thought about goals in life. They've never had anyone to come to them like I come to them and say, I can lead you and I can lead you to do this. This is how you can do this. These are the challenges I make to you. I'm not going to give you anything for free. I'm not going to make it easy for you. And I'm just amazed at how these young people stepping up to the challenge and doing these things. So I guess, Don, to sum it up, we are here to help you reach your goals in life, whatever they are. And we believe you can. And we're here to show you how to get it done. And we're here to provide the resources for you to get that done.
All right, and I was going to jump in real quick.
Go ahead, sir.
I know that, you know, with being in CD5, Ilhan Omar, you know, Antone, he, you know, they, the Star Tribune, a lot of people went up and supported this brother. But I have seen the GOP embrace you in a different way, and I like how you said that. They embrace you, and do you think whether you win or lose, what would be your first 100 days? What would you do in your, what would you try to do specifically for the North Side? And being, you know, I do agree with you about people understanding the business acumen as trying to figure out what to do to go get money. But I think that how do we let the youth know that we have been maybe bamboozled by the Democratic Party, and that you can reach across the table to the GOP and they will embrace you?
Have some experience doing those things. And God has blessed me
with the ability to have that influence on people. So I would use that influence also. So between the business, the development, the education, and influence these young men, those are the things that's my calling in life. And look, when I get to have to make an accounting for the talent that God gave me, if you remember the parable of the talents, I want to be able to step up one day and say, hey, I gave you a good return on your talent. That's what it's about to me at this stage in life, is giving God a good return on all the talents that he has invested in me. And that's what I'm trying to do from here on in.
Okay, Anthony.
You know, I'd like to ask a question quickly. You know, I know that there's an emphasis I hear talking about the north side. What about the south side? I mean, there's a whole neighborhood, South Minneapolis, that seems to be, that's where the George Floyd thing happened. That's, you know, the precinct was burned down. The Lake Street business area has been torched to the ground. It looks like it's been a war torn zone. I mean, I've never seen beans get like liquor sticks before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what kind of initiatives and things are we going to look at in the south side of Minneapolis?
Yeah.
Because that is included in five.
That's a very good question because, you know, not only just the north side and the south side, but the whole CD5, the suburban areas, Brooklyn Center, Richfield, St. Louis Park, all those areas that are part of CD5, we're going to bring the same approach to it. It's just that you have to start somewhere. The other thing I should point out, no matter what your demographic is, I am going to be the congressman representative of all demographics. Rich, poor, little income, black, white, it doesn't matter. But get back to your question. I think you have to start somewhere, and you start mainly in the place where you see the most need. And not that they don't have these, but we will bring that same type of opportunity zone, this building philosophy, the same quality education philosophy, the same strong family philosophy, and then the undergirding of faith philosophy to all areas. And we're not there to make people do anything. We're there to offer a different way of looking at things and giving people a choice. And if we are correct and they choose our way of doing, they will be successful. If they choose other ways of doing things, they're either going to be successful or not successful. And so they'll be allowed to make the decision themselves as far as what our message is, whether it's true, whether it makes a difference. And that's all I read them out here.
Okay. That sounds great. Stand by. Our call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. We do have a caller. Caller, last 4-1939, what's your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, this is Wesley calling from Eagan, Minnesota. Good morning, gentlemen.
It's Wesley from Eagan, Minnesota. Good morning, Wesley. How are you, sir?
I am well, thank you. I had a couple of questions I would like to ask Candidate Johnson. What media entities that he may be using, what are the media entities that he's using to promote his campaign?
You ain't watched Fox News, you ain't watched NBC, he's all over the news right now.
Hey, gentlemen, let me close this door right quick. I got somebody outside. Hold on. He's using the state. This brother raised a lot of money. I know he's gone right now.
Yeah, I'm back.
And he's all over the local channels in the Minneapolis area. That's what you've done.
Who is this answering the question?
We haven't done the billboards yet, but we will be doing that, I think, hopefully shortly. But any media you can think that has value. That's what we. He's right. I've been all over TV, been in New York on national TV, done New York Times article, Minneapolis Star Tribune articles, a lot of local paper articles, social media, of course. So we've been out there trying to get the message out.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of sounds like you're walking the right street, the white streets on this campaign.
Okay.
He said
it sounds like you're kind of walking the white street or the right street on this campaign.
The white street, you know, in terms of media.
In terms of media.
Because I don't know, it was a gentleman there who asked me, he said, you ain't been watching Fox News? I mean, you know, I'm not a TV watcher. I'm a radio person. That's why I'm on this show right now.
I've done WCCO. I've been on KMOJ, Power Show. I'm on Don Allen's show right now. Me and Don have done some work together in conversation with the Insight. We've got ads in the Minneapolis Spokane, North News. We've been rough around, and I'm very conscious of how I spend my dollars. And I've been up front from the beginning wherever black media and the minorities and women can bring value to my campaign, we're going to spend money with them. It would be very hypocritical of me to talking like this and not be aware of those type of diverse places where you spend your dollars. And so I'm very aware of that. And many of our people working for me, contractors, that's helping spread door knocking. These are people from the community. And I'm always conscious of that, and I always will be conscious of that. I try not to be a hypocrite in what I say and do.
Okay. I have – thank you, caller. And we have one more caller. Go ahead. Let me get these callers off the board here because they do call in and they want to talk. Caller, last 4-46-44. If you speak up a little, the candidate will be able to hear you, and so will we. Welcome. What's your name and what's your question? Go ahead, please.
Yes, Bianchi calling from the Midwest. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I can understand Lacey Johnson. You know, they asked a question about this white street and black street. But you as a conservative that's under the Republican banner, I can see how if you go on some venues, you're going to be attacked and insulted. And the host usually let it happen. But, you know, I go by what a people say, a person says they're going to do and what they do actually do. I support and vote for Donald Trump and will again based on his campaign issues. Issues that was of concern to me. But I want to ask one thing. The first black president, Bill Clinton, dark glasses and a saxophone. He said, and you can, in an interview out of his mouth, and I might have said this before, he thought, and his wife did too, that Detroit should be redeveloped with Syrian refugees. And that was kind of perplexing because I thought that blacks were the brainchild or the go-to child for the Democratic Party. And you had a leader and his wife, which is a major component, saying that blacks should be kicked under the bus in Detroit and replaced with Syrian refugees. And other politicians, like the governor, said so too. So how do you make of that? People want to look at all blacks as coming under one banner, where in reality they don't, and they should be respected for doing things that's based on their interests and their values. I pose that to you, Mr. Lacey.
The question, what exactly is your, can you repeat your question, sir? I'm sorry.
Well, my question is this. Is that should not people look at you for what you're saying you stand for on the issues like tax reduction, the issues like border protection, the issues like the protecting of American business through a tariff from foreign entities, the issue of school choice with vouchers, which is very, very beneficial for those who's coming from disadvantaged families.
A couple of things. I was going to be insulted and things like that. I accept that. That's my role. I love the people that I'm trying to serve so much. I'm willing to take the insult today to get this done. Secondly, as far as issues are concerned, I think you're correct. If it was left up to me, politics and campaigns would be totally about these are the issues, these are my solutions. And maybe to get a little bit into character, because the character does count. But I tell people, if you look back over the history of the world of all the quote-unquote great leaders, they all had their flaws. But I don't put too much stock into that. So I just look at the issues and what they are. But however, and this is what the Democrats are very good at, as human beings, we have evolved with a group identity. And so people appeal to our group identity through our emotions and impulses. And what I found, and the tougher thing of it is that no matter where you stand on the issues and things, it's still hard for someone who's been voting Democrat all their lives, their parents been doing it, even though they don't know why they've been doing it. They've been hearing this propaganda about Republicans being a bunch of racist bigots, et cetera, is pumped into their heads in the public education system, pumped into their heads in mainstream media, pop culture. They're hearing this all day, every day, all around them. It's pretty hard to overcome their instinct to distrust that. So that's what we're working on. But once again, if you were looking at just the issues and things and results, I think it'll be a slam dunk. I think most black folks, and based on their our conservative background, would be voting Republican.
Yeah, okay. I would agree with that. And before I hand it off to Jonathan again, I just would like to go in a straight line. I know you're a businessman, Lacey. I've been knowing you for a grip, you know, from downtown, working in corporate, et cetera. And I know this is not an easy question, but I ask a lot of politicians that we talk to, especially black politicians, about things in our community that affect us as you know, black people trying to stay above, you know, we're trying to stay on full and not go to empty. But those major black organizations that are here to support us are attempting and failing to support the lower one-third of the community. So with that said, the quick answer, and I'm going to keep you in a straight line on this, how do we fix the Urban League of the Twin Cities? What would be your short answer?
My short answer is work hand-in-hand with entrepreneurs for profit businesses, and I would be in favor of offering the leadership in the Urban League some positions in for profit businesses so they can make 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 times as much money as they're making right now.
And what does that look like? Can you draw us a picture of that, how you would connect with an agency that has historically wanted to be accepted versus respected, and they don't associate themselves, even though they're supposed to be nonpartisan, with particular political parties or those candidates or individuals? What does that look like in the Twin Cities?
Well, here's the thing, and I don't know all the details about the Urban League, but I know they have programs and things to provide jobs, training, and things like that. What I would do is map whatever services that they're offering right now to a for-profit business, and I would eventually, and this is where I am in business too, hopefully we would get to the point where we won't need the Urban League anymore, and we can move Mr. Belson or whoever in as a vice president of some international global corporation, and he can make a lot more money than he's making right now.
Okay, Jonathan, go ahead. And I know Anthony has a couple questions too.
Yeah. You know, we have you know, left-leaning society within Minneapolis, and, you know, I hate, you know, Ilhan Omar. I would say I haven't seen her on the ground level as much. I've seen, you know, you around a little bit, but what does it look like? And this is what I want you to say is, have you talked to the NAACP? Have you talked to them at all?
Yes, I used to attend their meetings before I got on the campaign trail. I know that very well. Over at Sebastopol Center, I used to attend their meeting.
Okay, wonderful. And are they real responsive with your campaign as far as trying to, you know, do they have to be left-leaning, or are they more in the central, non-bipartisan?
Right. Here's the thing. There's so many arms to this campaign. I haven't had the chance to work with them in detail, but I will say this. When I was attending their meetings, they gave me all the – they knew I was a Republican. They gave me all the respect in the world. I know Leslie is a very outward-thinking person, a creative-thinking person, so she was supportive. And at the time I left, I regret the fact that Leslie had asked me to serve on their strategic planning committee. So I feel like they were very respectful and supportive, even when they didn't agree with me, but they knew we had common goals, so they supported what I was doing.
So do you have any plans as far as the Upper Harbor Terminal? Have you looked into that, and do you know what you could tell the North Minneapolis area on that?
Well, I know there's a major concern about that development isn't responsive to the people in the community. I think there's a major concern about how they have laid out some of those, laid out the project, they designed it. So I would take a close look at that. And to me, a lot of things are just process and methodology. I make sure I get up to speed. I make sure I talk to the people in the community. And I know always the number. number one priority are the lives of the people in that community, and we'll make sure that whatever comes, that, that development end up looking like, it will serve the community as well as the greater metropolitan region. And I never see where there's a conflict in that. I think if we're creative, people trust us, and we can roll up our sleeves and get to work, we can accomplish both of those goals.
Right. And one more thing. I know we had Ilhan win the last time. If you look at the numbers, she might be leading just a little bit. You do have a advantage right now, being that Trump is in office and that Minnesota is almost a purple, purple state. So it's almost, if you go 5 minutes, 10 minutes outside of the Twin Cities, it's all red. Do you think that if Donald Trump wins this year, you will be part of that win?
Well, I think it helps to have another Republican who's pulling votes. I think, yes, I would be part of that win, but I mainly focus on winning for our district and the people in the community. So that's what I look at mainly. Yeah.
And you know, so far, in our, the reason why I ask that is because in our community, sometimes we have been, I wouldn't say forced, but bamboozled or tricked to vote for Democratic, candidates who really don't have a plan for us within, the profits or, more poverty-stricken areas of North Minneapolis. And so is there a, and then this is maybe just a question you can maybe elaborate on a little bit, but for the Broadway Business District, you would say, where the Burger King and, where Nakima's office is and, right along there by the McDonald's and stuff, what are the plans that you would like to see happen right in that area?
Well, first thing you need to know is that my last campaign, my office was right there on Bryan and Broadway across from Burger King. So I'm very familiar with the area. I should also point out, I know one of the great businessmen and entrepreneurs on Broadway, Tim Baylor. I know he's involved with the Broadway Business Association. And basically, I know they've been frustrated from some of their dealings with the government as far as receiving funding to get what they want to do. So a couple of things to make it short. I will work with the business people through business development. I know I've met a lot of homeless people, a lot of people with drug issues and things like that. I will make sure and Turning Point is on that corner too now, I think. I think we'll work with organizations like that because we do have to address these persons, them as potential employers and owners and things like that. So between the people, the services that's offered, the Broadway Business Development Association, we will come together with a plan to make sure that it's happening. But I want to make sure you understand, I'm very familiar with the issues out there. And once again, the solution will be the development of businesses and education and family, and those are the type of things I will bring to Broadway also.
Okay, thank you. Anthony, go ahead, please.
I have just a quick question. And I guess this is kind of going on with the caller that had called in earlier. And what I want to clarify is, we've talked about how the Democrats and how, the black community has kind of followed lockstep with the Democrats. But are we voting for a party or are we voting for a person? And I say that because I've seen Ilhan in our area for the last 2 years, and I'm not impressed. And because she's Democrat, has nothing to do with that. That's just a person that just is not impressing me at the job that she's doing for my community. And so that question of are we voting for just a party or a person, and I would like to know what you think about that, Lacey.
I think ultimately you voted for a person, but I think in deciding what person you vote for, once again, I think you need to determine the sincerity of that person. The first and foremost thing I would say voters should ask themselves is that, is this person really concerned about my life, or are they just giving me a message to get the vote? And then you look at the person's track record. I mean, I got a track record with just about everyone in this district at all levels, whether you're talking about billionaire businessmen, or gang members, or gang leaders. Across the board, whether you're talking about pastors and preachers, across the board, I have a relationship and a track record with them. And so I think people need to look at track records. Some things are pretty simple, I think. majored in political science. That's the end of that's not a career. That's their goal in life.
Mm-hmm.
But my goal in life is to help people, to help other people live. And so, and you can probably tell I'm kind of skeptical of politicians. And so I think people should always be skeptical, including me. I mean, I don't consider myself a politician, but know the game that they play. So, yeah, the person, I think, is ultimately who you should vote for rather than a party.
Okay, I appreciate that. One question that I'm getting some texts here and there. One question that comes out is that, what are your plans between now and November 3rd to really get not only you, your name out in the 5th Congressional District and across the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota, besides the TV stuff, but stuff inside of CD5? And I'm just going to look at the text here. It says, why aren't there any Republican GOP events on your behalf in Minneapolis or even St. Paul? Question mark. Thank you, caller, for that text.
Well, they wouldn't be in St. Paul because that's not part of my district.
I mean, and you know what? And the caller, she just texted back. She said that the reason why she said St. Paul, because people have fundraisers everywhere, political, and I would have to agree with that statement, but go ahead.
Well, you should know I will be in St. Paul today. They have fired some of the former gang leaders of security group. I'll be over there today. So I've been back and forth in St. Paul. I visited the damage after the riots and things like that in St. Paul. Other thing is I've been having events in Minneapolis. They've been posted out on Facebook. I have been door knocking in Minneapolis and around the area. I have been meeting people and developing plans. And you should hear, I don't want to get out ahead of things, but we're going to have a major event planned downtown and things like that. And a lot of what I do, look, when you're behind the scenes getting work done, it cuts parading around pretending you're doing things. I'm a worker. And so a lot of times during the day, I'm talking to people. I'm talking to ministers. I'm talking to community leaders. I'm talking to gang leaders. I'm talking to businessmen. I'm talking to investment bankers. I'm talking to lawyers. I'm talking to investors. I'm talking to all kinds of people. But once again, that work is not done on the street corner, out in the street. So I've been out here, and I've been very visible, I think. But you should see between now and November 3rd a lot more of those activities and knocking doors and those type of things.
Okay, you're listening to Blog Our Black News on Blog Talk Radio, being broadcast live on LinkedIn, Facebook, and also YouTube live in real time. Of course, it's available afterwards as a podcast on Blog Talk Radio. And let me throw it to Jonathan. Jonathan, you want to ask Lacey a couple more questions, and then we're not going to keep him the full hour because we want to close out on some different stuff, but I'll let you get at him one more time, and then we'll let him have a closing statement. Cannot hear you, sir.
I can hear you.
Yes. And we cannot hear Jonathan. Jonathan, can you hear Jonathan, Lacey?
Well,
here we go.
Worked with them. I've worked with just about anybody who's Don Samuels, especially when he was our representative. He called me and my wife, of course, he's a politician, his favorite constituents. And I know Sandra from a long time ago. She was involved in Education Choice. I haven't worked that closely with her since she's been a part of the Northside Achievement Zone. But, you know, I like working with churches. I like with Dr. Foster, the people at the hospitality house. So whoever out there that needs my help. But once again, I have my lane. My lane is trying to create business, for-profit businesses, wealth, and things in the community. My lane is education. And so I don't get a chance to be in meetings with a lot of those people with what I'm doing. And so I try to stay in my lane. But, yes, I know just about anybody who's anybody in the black community or any other community, nonprofit in Minnesota. And keep in mind, I've been here for a long time. And if I don't know them personally, I'm one person away from knowing who they are and introducing people.
Okay. Jonathan, I hope you guys can hear me.
I have a question.
Go ahead, sir.
This question real quick. Lacey, you know, this is, I know, like, Ilhan is your main opponent, it looks like, for this particular race in this area. And I wonder, would there ever be a debate between you and Ilhan? Is that something that would that be on the table at all? Could there be a debate where we could see the two candidates?
What's up with that?
We're trying. We get all kinds of fillers out there, but you know, she's gonna quit. She's trying to catch up with.
Are you saying that she has not agreed to a debate? So she hasn't agreed to a debate, is what you're saying then, correct?
First of all, politics is self-preservation. That's probably good for self-preservation.
Hey,
I mean,
you know, let's throw the challenge out there. I mean, that would be a great thing to do, I think, for the community, to let the community see the candidates, to hear the candidates, to get together. I mean, I think that forum would be an excellent thing. Maybe it could be at a college or some type of neutral site or something where we could just have a debate and let's see what the issues are.
And I wouldn't mind if she brought Governor Walton to the state of all at one time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that would be a knockdown drag out. I would love to see that.
I'm talking to a lawyer. She didn't know
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
We gotta work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jonathan, I apologize. I can't hear you. It's something on my end, obviously. But Lacey, we're gonna tie this up and put a bow in it and a pin in it, and we're gonna let you close out by saying how people can get in, just a statement, and then let us know how people can contribute to your campaign or get in touch with you or whatever you want. Go ahead.
My state is, I'm out here trying to do for specified for the show. I'm not in here for any personal gains or even fame or fortune. I'm just here to make people's lives better. I'm tired of the Democrats taking advantage of us for granted. They keep us in the back room until election time. Before that is immigration and everything else, the environment. As soon as election time come up, they parade us out on stage and move us up to the front of the bus. Then they win the election, go back 3 years, for 3 years, and we disappear again. And so I'm tired of that. So I'm asking people, look, for once in your life, vote for the person rather than the party. I know how difficult that is. And then finally, look, just go out on my website, lacymarker.com. You'll see some things out there. And I'm just saying, open up your mind. I think if you look at the sincerity, you look at her record, what she's doing, what she's doing, what she's done versus what I've done, what I'm doing, who's sincere to who has the character, I think it's a slam dunk. I should win this race, and the community should vote for me. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk with all of you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being here today, and we look forward to talking to you again that weekend of November 3rd there to see what happens. Either way, we're going to say you will be our first political interview after election to break it down and talk about it is going to be Lacey Johnson that weekend, right after that January or that November 3rd, because that's the 3rd, Tuesday, 4th, Wednesday, 5th. Friday, 6th Saturday, and the 7th is my birthday. So that will be my birthday gift from you to be on the air with us right after the election so we can break that stuff down. Is that cool?
That's cool. My birthday, you Diane, pop some champagne. I don't drink that, but we'll pop a little champagne. And that's, I'm going to save the world, guys.
Well, if you win, I look forward to being a part of your cabinet.
Likewise.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you. That was Lacey Johnson. We appreciate him being here today. Thank you very much, sir. I know you have things to do. Let's give him a hand. All right, thank you, Lacey Johnson. Okay. Well, guys, can you hear Jonathan, Anthony? Anthony. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, I can't hear him for some strange reason. But, yeah, just go ahead because we can hear you via Facebook and all the platforms. So I'm checking now. I just can't hear you here, so don't worry about it. Say what you got to say. Go ahead.
Well, I really like that idea. You know, we talked about the debate. I mean, I really like two candidates together, and let's, you know, let's see what they have to say in their own presence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that would be an awesome thing to do, and we'll see if Ilhan would be even willing to do that. She's kind of kept, from what I've seen, kind of kept a kind of a lower profile, even though she's, or maybe the profile just hasn't been coming to my area, but she's kept a low profile. So I would think she'd readily accept something like that as the incumbent. Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you listening, I know some of you cannot hear Mr. Mason, but we're just letting Anthony translate it here for us.
Yeah. I mean, I think the head-to-head is a really good way of doing it. I mean, it's a contested race. It's you know, Ilhan's been there. We've got a newcomer on the scene, and it would be real nice to just, you know, let them compare notes for the public so we can make up our minds as to who we want to vote for.
Funny, because I can't hear it. We'll go back. Okay, it's probably just something on my end. Okay, cool. Jonathan, I apologize or something. And this is the first time. We have like 2 minutes left, and I just want to let people know that we just started using this platform today. This is our first whole show. Actually, Anthony and I tested it out last week, and it seemed to work really smooth, and it gives us an opportunity to even reach further and wider with some professional video technology and different links that sends this our broadcast or our Black News out across the world, actually, via the Internet. We'd like to thank everybody for listening today. We'd like to thank Lacey Johnson, candidate Lacey Johnson, for calling in and logging in and chatting with us. Jonathan, you back?
Yes, I am.
Oh, we can hear you perfectly now. I can hear you perfectly now. That's great. I was just kind of wrapping it up in a ball and saying we appreciate Lacey calling in. Next week, on next Saturday, it's going to be very interesting. If you remember Raymond Dean, Raymond Dean represented the North Loop area over there in North Minneapolis. And her – well, let me finish. His opponent, who actually won the DFL endorsement, I call her Miss Esther, she will be live with us next Saturday. And she's willing to talk about, you know, North Minneapolis in a way that no Republican can talk about North Minneapolis. And that's not a slight against Republicans. It's just a slight against, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. And Miss Esther is an attorney. She is sharp. She doesn't pull any punches. And she is demanding some change. She's a Democrat or a person, because I don't look at the party, but she's a person that I could like. I mean, I like Ray Dean, too. I still like Ray Dean. Has been a friend before he was a elected politician. And so nothing against either one of them. I just want her to come on because she obviously will be the winner because there is zero competition out there when the DFL endorses you, basically. And so she will win her seat. She will represent areas of North Minneapolis like the business section, North Loop, and other places. And we just, I mean, I look forward to having her here. Any closing thoughts, you guys, before I go?
I think that was a really good show with Lacey. He explained it well. You know, like we were saying, you don't endorse anyone on the show. But, you know, a lot of things come from, you know, come out of it. And I think he has to talk to constituents in a way that maybe reach across the table to maybe get some votes in CD5. So ultimately, like he said, he can say this: is whoever is doing the best or has the best economic plan for Black, that's where we should go. So that's my thought.
Hey, Anthony?
Yeah, I like that. He seems to be in it to win it. And I mean, I think that he seems to be very serious about this. He's on the pavement. He's on the airwaves. Seems to be in it to win it. So, but again, I want to see the debate. I want to see a debate between those two candidates. I think that would be a very insightful meeting, and it would be something for all the community to digest.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree 100% with that. So with that said, it is 10:30. You've been listening to Our Black News. We'll be back next week with Miss Esther, who will probably win the election coming on the 3rd of November, and an update about Trump and the coronavirus to see if he's brand new after the weekend and back in office. But, hey, Anthony, Jonathan, as always, thank you. It's been great. I appreciate you being here. And you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio's Our Black News.